Life isn't about avoiding the bruises. It's about collecting the scars to prove that we showed up for it. Join Nikki Seberini for the next hour as she explores heroism through illness. There is a warrior inside each of us. This is LifeLinks with the DL Link. LifeLinks is a funding initiative of the DL Link.
Welcome to this show. If you've just joined us, this is the DL Link show on 101.9 High FM. And if you've been with us, well, welcome back. Just a reminder that if there's any part of the show that you've missed out on or you want to revisit, we do podcast the show. So that means you can catch the recording on the High FM website from tomorrow. You know, I always love it when I get a delivery and there's this thick envelope and it's kind of like opening a birthday present. And when there's a book inside, and I love books, and I love the fact that people have taken time, and sometimes, you know, it's just this expression of something deep, deep within that falls onto these pages using these beautiful words. Other times it's experts who are sharing their knowledge. People who have had inspiring experiences. And, you know, we get to read these words. And so this book arrived called Deep Blue, Why We Love the Sea. And just the cover got me interested, right? This beautiful turquoise and blues. And at the top, there is the figure of a person. It's like a watercolor of a person, of a woman, just diving into this vast expanse of blue. And that was my introduction to Deep Blue, Why We Love the Sea, written by Varushka Devita. And I've so enjoyed the book on many levels. One being, I've started to explore the world of swimming in my swimming pool during winter and making friends with the cold and water and what water has meant to me. So this has been a beautiful exploration, a personal exploration, and looking at the greater impact of our ocean, of water, of being human, the shared experience. So I'm really, really excited to have Varushka Devita on the show today to unpack it all. Varushka, welcome, and thank you so much for joining us.
Nikki, thank you so much. It is a delight to be here with you and with your listeners. And I am so pleased that you've started swimming in the very cold Joburg winter. You will get so used to the cold, you're going to start loving the cold.
Well, you know, I started about 2 years ago, and the first year I was really committed. Last year, there were painful points. And I've got to admit, Varushka, that this year I got a little bit of flu. And so I paused the swimming. I had one swim last week and it was very, very painful. And every day since, I've been thinking, I just don't know if I can do it. Until I got to the point of, what's his name? The Israeli who now lives in Cape Town. And he does all of these cold swims. I wish I could remember his name, and it'll come to me. And he spoke about not fearing the cold. I loved it. He said, like, the cold knows when you fear it, and you mustn't fear the cold. And I tell you, straight after reading that, I jumped into the water. And I used that idea of not fearing the cold, and it just kind of changed the experience and brought me back to why I'm doing it. So it's amazing. I connected with the joy of the cold and not the fear of the cold. And so that's what this book is all about. It's filled with all of this. But through it all, there is your absolute love which comes through. This is like your love letter to the water, to the sea, to swimming, to water, right?
It is. I wanted to explore the sea, the ocean more. And through my exploration, I started chatting to people who are free divers, extreme swimmers. I think the man you're referring to is Ram Barkai.
Yes.
Yes. He is phenomenal. And you are right. For him, it's about being curious about the cold, not fearing the cold, not panicking, but actually learning about it, adapting to it, feeling it, and actually ultimately then enjoying the water so that you can do amazing things like he does. So he started the International Ice Swimming Association, and he takes brave people to the Antarctic to swim a mile just wearing a swimming costume, goggles, and a swimming cap. And these people do it and they love it, and they get to swim in places on planet Earth that are so spectacular and magnificent that it actually opens up a whole new way of being for them.
You know, I love how you explore all of these different people with the different chapters, and how, you know, you and the Lewis Pugh and all these others, these South Africans, right?
Yes.
They're here, they're South Africans, they're exploring, they're doing. But I want to go, and we're going to talk about them, but I want to go to you. I mean, your roots, your parents were born on the beautiful island of Sicily. So there you've got your home and you're surrounded by the sea. And your father shared all these amazing stories with you growing up. Even, you know, when they would go and they would take the mule and they yes. would pick the grapes. And he talks about the salt of the water and how that helps the grapes. And swimming with the mule after going and collecting all of these grapes. And so these were the stories that you inhaled and digested, and these colorful stories that your father brought you, right? Was this where the first falling in love happened?
Absolutely. So his stories actually planted a seed inside of me. And I've always had this very deep connection with the sea, with water, and a fascination also for people who dive to these great depths. My dad used to hold his breath and dive deep down into the sea to spear fish, collect urchins, get octopus. And he almost mythologized the sea for me. It's always been very, very close to my heart. And even though I live inland, I'm a Joburg girl, I make sure that I get to the sea as often as I can. Like I'll find any excuse to get to the coast and actually dip, splash, frolic, dive into this almost infinite seeming vast land almost. It's like an underwater land that is there to be explored. So yes, through my childhood, I listened to my dad's stories, and this has deeply affected me, which always leads me to explore more about it.
You explain how you went along and you did like this, I don't know what it was, a deep diving, the breath holding, where you
yes.
all sat in a room and you
yes.
try to hold your breath. And as I was reading it, I was sort of holding your breath, because my breath, and I'm sure that so many people who are going to read the book will, because it's so, I'm going in a few directions here, but it's so personal, the relationship you have with water and with putting your head underwater and with holding your breath. And you know, just the science tells you so much can open up for you. Psychology tells you so much can open up for you if you face your fear, if you learn to hold your breath, if you can dive down. You're talking about your father. This was part of his survival, you know. This is what he did so that he could dive deep and catch the sea urchins and the octopus and the whatever, because that's what they survived on. And we know that there's a lot of anxiety around it. And we know that with the cold plunge, a lot of people are using it to overcome anxiety, to work through addiction. So it's so personal, this relationship with water, the ocean, cold water swimming, deep diving. And you explore all of these areas. As I said, you know, we're going back to that time when you held your breath and I could hold my breath while I was reading it, but you just immersed yourself in a different space. So you were able that very first time to be the person to hold your breath, not the longest. There was someone who held it longer than you. But yes. For you, perhaps you can just explain to our audience what that's like. Because for some people, this holding the breath, you know, we hold our breath when we're scared. We hold our breath when the stress response is activated. That's very often what holding the breath is for us. But for you, it was something different.
It was something totally different. And there's a way of holding your breath that actually allows you to open up something new. So I decided to do a freediving course in Cape Town, in Simonstown, in fact. And this is where I met Hanelie Prinsloo and her husband, Peter Marshall. And they led a group of us on a breath hold experience to actually show us and allow us to understand how it actually works, because it is so counterintuitive, right? You know, we always think like if you hold your breath for very long, you're going to start to panic. If you hold it for very, very long, you'll actually faint. So it is counterintuitive. And yet, the moment that you understand what it actually does and how your body works while you're holding your breath, you can understand it and you can do amazing things because of this. So there is a lot of technique involved. It is a process. There are ways of stretching. So you stretch side to side and you stretch those muscles in between the ribs that are often quite stiff. And as you do that, you inhale deeply and you hold. And this is how you actually expand your lungs and you expand your lung capacity. So the more you expand your lung capacity, the more oxygen you can actually take in and hold in your lung space. This then oxygenates the blood. So as you understand this, you let the process happen. And a few seconds afterwards, your heart rate actually starts to slow down so that it actually conserves oxygen. Then another thing to understand is there are red blood cells that are held in the spleen, which is an internal organ. And when you're holding your breath for long, those oxygenated red blood cells are then let into the bloodstream so that they reach the main organ. So your brain, your heart, your lungs, the important organs that actually keep us alive and keep them going. So if the brain can understand this, you can actually push past those pain points almost where all you want to do is breathe. And then the other phenomenal thing that happened to me, which I've never experienced, is that you start to get contractions. And you actually, these are beyond your control. And it's your body's way of forcing you to start breathing. And what Hanelie and Peter also taught us was to actually push past these contractions. And the more you learn to hold your breath, the more you understand how much further you can actually hold beyond these contractions. So, for example, Hanelie explained that she starts to get contractions at about 3 to 3.5 minutes, but she can actually push to about 6 to 7 minutes, and she knows that she can do this without harming her body. So,
carry on. Sorry, amazing. Let me. How long did you hold your breath? It was 3.5. How long did you?
Yes, so 3 minutes 20 seconds.
3 minutes, 20 seconds. Yes. Okay, so this is amazing. So many questions I have. So, I mean, everything that you're explaining, so I know that the diaphragm is going to start fluttering, the contractions.
Yes.
Because the increase in carbon dioxide in your blood sends a message to the brain, which sends the message to the diaphragm to contract. We need air, right? Yes. I mean, that's what the brain does to keep us alive. So now you're saying, Hanelie has said, okay, just push it a little bit further, push it a little bit further. So now you're kind of ignoring your body's instinct to breathe because the body is now saying, the brain's going, whoa, there's too much carbon dioxide. We need more oxygen. This is for survival. But you're overriding this, which that in itself must be incredibly powerful, right? Because you're accessing a deep power within you to be able to override that. But at what point could that be dangerous?
So it depends on the person, actually. And every person who actually does this and every free diver actually understands their body's limits. And this is very, very important. That understanding of your own body's pain points and how far you can actually push it. Okay. And this takes a tremendous amount of practice. It takes time. And it's always a good thing to actually have somebody there with you who understands the process and who can actually coach you so that you are not in danger. There are also techniques of keeping your brain stimulated so that you also don't pass out, because you don't want that to happen, right? And it's about tuning into the world with your other senses. So the minute you're holding your breath, you're not smelling anymore. So your auditory sense and your visual sense and your sense of touch, your feeling, your skin sense becomes so much more heightened. And this in itself is actually quite fascinating. And it's quite distracting, which is a good thing, because you don't want to be thinking about, oh my word, I really just want to breathe. So what you do is, wow, all of a sudden I can hear all these tiny, amazing sounds that are so far away and so small, but that just make up the world. And look at that. I can see a fish. And look, there's another fish. And look, the fish is curious about me and it's actually wanting to come and look at me in the eye. So there's so many other things around that are so fascinating that they become a distraction and you can carry on.
I loved your description of after the breath holding, going to the beautiful kelp forests near Simonstown area, and the way you describe that, because it's almost as if you're not worrying about the breathing. So you get, and there's no snorkel. So those sounds, you're so immersed in that moment, as you say, with these heightened senses. I really enjoyed the way you described that. And at no point, Varushka, did the psychological aspect of panic enter into the fray.
It didn't, strangely enough. I think because I was so well coached, I understood what my body was going through, and I was actually more intrigued than panicked. I also knew that at any moment, I could actually just swim back up to the surface, take a breath, look around, see where I was, look at where the coastline was located. But the beauty of the kelp was so magnificent that it kept drawing me back down. And the way that the sunlight actually plays between the kelp fronds, the way the kelp itself actually feels, was for me so beautiful that I wasn't, at no point did the thing of panic actually enter my mind. There was a moment before the dive where a few of us were a little bit worried about apex predators and, of course, sharks, great white sharks. And I laugh because of
Hanalee's when one's immersing oneself in that ocean, right?
Absolutely. And Hanalee looked at us very seriously and said, if you encounter an apex predator, you look it straight in the eye. And I was wondering, okay, but which eye? Because, you know, a shark has an eye on either side of its face almost.
It's not in the front.
Not in the front like a human. No. And I was like, you know what? I'm not even going to worry about that. I just want to stay calm and I want to enjoy the experience. And in the sea, you are so free and yet you're so vulnerable, and you actually just need to make friends with that. Because if you start to worry of what if, and you start expecting bad things to happen, it takes away from the joy of it, and you actually just need to surrender to it, and you need to surrender to the experience and this thing that is actually so much bigger than you and quite unpredictable. And the minute you just surrender, you can be at peace and enjoy yourself.
Yeah. And that's a lesson for life, right? Surrendering and being at peace. That's a lesson for life. I remember the award-winning South African documentary. I think it was called My Octopus Teacher. I'm sure you watched that.
Oh, yes.
And those beautiful dives down. So we got a sense of how beautiful those kelp forests are. I mean, beautiful. So you got to experience that as well, which must have, as you say, it was just, and in that state, which is just fabulous, really fabulous.
It is.
So Varushka, in all these, the different chapters, there are different people. There's that woman who broke, I mean, and she's no youngster. She broke the world record of swimming underneath ice. So do you call that a horizontal swim where she's holding her breath? And she's swimming underneath a layer of ice. Just that can make me panic, even though there are holes every however many meters in the freezing, freezing cold.
Indeed. So that was Amber Fillery. She is 50 plus. She is a phenomenal athlete. And what she does is a different type of free diving. So let me just demystify free diving very quickly for you and your listeners. A lot of people know free diving as being a vertical dive, and you actually follow a rope down, 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 and then turn around and swim back up. Another way of free diving is to do it horizontally, which is what Amber Fillery does. So she finds immense peace in extremely cold water. When I was speaking to her, she actually explained that cold water moves very differently to water that's a normal temperature. It is slower. It's got this almost milky blueness to it. And this is where she finds her peace. So where all of us would go like, oh, imagine swimming in a frozen lake under 30 centimeters of ice, she goes, yes, let me do this. And in fact, not only did she break the woman's record, she broke the men's record as well. It is, it is so easy for her. But what she has done is she has conditioned herself for the cold. For her, it gives her a feeling of exhilaration. It's almost a high. And in fact, she got me into cold water dipping because she kept saying to me, like, no, you've got to try it. Like, it's the most amazing feeling. Once you get past that ice cream headache in your head and in your body, it just feels amazing. Because what happens is something called vasoconstriction, which I'm sure you experience as well, which is where the blood from your fingertips and your extremities, actually the vessels constrict and push it to your internal organs to protect them. So this is quite painful. But once this has happened, those areas, so the top of your skin, your fingertips, your feet, your toes, experience this almost wash of warmth, and it just feels amazing. So I can understand why for her, and she actually manages to get her heart rate right down and keep it down even while she is swimming. She's also had amazing coaches who actually understand her, because here is a woman who has been an amazing swimmer her whole life. She's done breath hold competitions where she just wins, and where everybody else is doing their yoga and their stretching, and they do something called breathing up, which is where you take very deep breaths and you actually pack the air into your lungs and then into your neck area and then into your cheeks and then hold it like that. It makes you feel quite full, like you've had a really large meal. Amber doesn't even do that. She just goes, takes a little breath and off she goes. She's just a natural in the water. And yeah. A lot of the people that I spoke to, it was very clear to me that they had an innate talent for this. Yes, yeah. They train. Yes, they eat properly. They hold their breath so that their bodies get used to the carbon dioxide. But they are naturals in the water.
Yeah. Well, you know what, Varushka? We have kind of just touched on it because I hope that we have teased people to get their hands on your book, Deep Blue, Why We Love the Sea, because it's all there and your enthusiasm and love is there. So I presume all at good bookstores for people who are interested.
Yes, and also online, as paperback, as ebook, it's all there.
Fabulous. Oh, Varushka, thank you so much. Thank you for coming in. Thank you for writing this beautiful book. And I wish you all the best and many, many happy swims. Varushka DeVita, journalist and author, thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much, Nikki. And keep swimming.
Yes, absolutely. You re-inspired me.